Hey everybody, welcome back to the Montana Moves and Meals Well Chat. Summer is coming to a close. Montana State University, where our offices are, has been a hustle and bustle, reminding me of my days back in New York City, because that's kind of what it's like on campus this week. So students are back, faculty's back. So all of you who have gotten back to school in the university system, welcome back. Some of you, I think, have a couple more weeks of summer left, but it's fall and kicking off fall with a new Well Chat. My name is Neil Andrews. I'm the exercise and fitness specialist for Montana University System Wellness. Here with us, as always, is
Kristen Stokes. I'm the nutrition specialist with the wellness program.
And Kristen, you have a special guest today that's going to be joining us on the Well Chat, correct?
Yes. With me today is Anna Goodrum. She is an intern with the Montana Dietetic Internship. Would you like to say hello, Anna?
Yeah. Hello, everyone. I'm Anna Goodrum. I am a new Montana resident. I just moved. I graduated from the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point in the spring of 2016 and have really been enjoying my time out here so far.
Awesome.
So when did you get to Montana? How new?
Very new. So I got to Montana July 31st, so about a month in.
Okay. And so just to let you know that it's not always smoky here, but I'm sure it's been smoky since you've been here. There will be blue skies again, you know, when it snows.
Someday.
Someday, yes.
Yeah, I thought it was fog, but I don't think you guys have fog.
Yeah, wow. It's not fog. It's smoke. And it's been a bad summer. But not as bad here as in some places. And we feel you, Missoula. I was just in Missoula. We'll talk about that in a second. But first I wanted to ask Kristen, baby countdown. What are we, five weeks?
Yep. 5 weeks to go if he stays in until his due date.
Okay. How are you feeling?
Pretty good, actually. Yeah.
I got to give Kristen credit because I have not seen or witnessed the, I feel like a lot of times in the third trimester, there is women get to an I'm over this point. And how close are you to that point? Do you think that's coming, or do you think you're going to get to the due date? It's hard to tell, but
Yeah, I'm not over it yet. Pregnancy has actually been, second and third trimesters have been pretty enjoyable, actually.
Awesome.
So, yeah. And Neil just got back from vacation. How was that?
It was a Montana vacation. I didn't go very far, but a couple of trip highlights. I did go down to Idaho and Wyoming and witness the total solar eclipse, which was amazing. I actually backpacked kind of west of the Grand Teton National Park, set up a camp, went up on a ridgeline, and I think the coolest thing for me is I was at about 10,000 feet elevation, and you could look back down into eastern Idaho, and you could see the shadow coming, which was really cool. So as the shadow got closer, then, you know, like the lights dimmed, and then when the corona came out, it was a really cool experience, and you felt, there were a lot of people in the back country where I was, certainly more than would usually be in this area. And it was like a bonding experience. You felt like you were, you know, friends with everyone you met, and you had this cool experience. Driving back home wasn't that fun.
A little bit of traffic
there. I didn't think I was ever going to get out of Idaho, but I did get home. Then we went to Missoula for a couple days on vacation. It was about a 48-hour trip with just my family, but with a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old, 48 hours was
plenty.
It was good. We went to Missoula. One of the main reasons we went to Missoula, other than I like Missoula, was the water. We wanted to take our kids to Splash Montana, the water park. And of course, like the whole Missoula and Bitterroot area is like burning down right now. And it rained the day we went to. We were at Splash Montana for maybe 15 minutes. Aww. We didn't even get around the lazy river, and it thundered and lightning, and we had to get out, and then it poured down rain, and then they closed it. But my kids were resilient, and they thought the hotel pool was just fine, so we did that. But so you're welcome, Missoula. I brought your like one day of rain that you've had since probably June, and we're hoping you get more because it's quite smoky over there. Okay, before Anna and Kristen just drop some science on you guys for today's Well Chat, I wanted to ask one fun question.
Okay.
This weekend is Labor Day, we're transitioning into the fall. Kristen, I know you can't wait for this question, but what is your favorite thing about fall in Montana?
Oh, man. As a summer lover, that's why this is a fun question, because I get a little bit sad that summer's coming to a close. I do enjoy fall, though, and I enjoy the colors. I know that we don't get them as much as the East or basically anywhere else, but we still do have some pretty colors with the leaves changing, and I do like that.
Yeah, Kristen actually gets like anxiety at summer solstice, like because the days start to get shorter, and she's like, "It's over, you know. It's might as well like put my down coat on because yeah. It's gonna be dark at 4:30 anytime now, right?"
It's true.
So I give her a hard time about that. And then Anna, tougher question for you because this is your first fall here. Anything you're looking forward to? I mean, a lot of new stuff, a lot of changes. So what are you excited about this fall?
Well, first I'm going to say that I'm going to miss the colors because we have really nice colors.
We get color for like a week.
Yeah. So enjoy it.
I will. Actually, I'm a winter person, so I'm excited for it to get a little cooler. I don't like the 90 degree. It's too hot for me. Mm. So I'm excited to get a little bit cooler. Not the darkness, but for it to get a little bit cooler.
Yep.
Okay. I'm excited about the cooler weather. I'm excited about football season. And my five-year-old asked me 3 times this weekend when we could go skiing. So he's ready for ski season. And we got a little time. Don't worry, Kristen. We got some time before ski season. But yeah, I'm excited about all those things. So that was fun. But as always, on the Well Chat, we're going to get around to some good educational stuff. And so I'm going to hand it over to Kristen and Anna. And you guys are talking about our subject today is the microbiome, correct? Mm-hmm. Which if any of you, some of you might have had a chance to go to one of Kristen's workshops this spring. She had a workshop focused on probiotics and the microbiome, and you're going to back it with some latest research. Is that correct? All right. That's so correct. Who's starting this off?
I think I will.
Okay. Kristen Stokes, registered dietitian, nutrition specialist for the university system. Drop some knowledge.
Thank you, Neil. So as Neil said, we will be talking about the gut microbiome, and it is one of my newest favorite nutrition subjects because I think it's really fascinating and there's some really cool research coming out. So kind of the instigation of this podcast, Neil suggested that we find something in the popular news or some recent article that had to do with nutrition and in Neil's case, exercise to talk about on the Well Chat. So we, Anna and I, perused the internet and some other sources and found an article that caught our eye about the gut microbiome. But first I asked Anna to just tell us a little bit about the gut microbiome, what we're talking about when we even use that term. So here you go, Anna.
Alrighty. So gut microbiome has been a very trendy topic, very new and upcoming, I would say. So I guess I'm going to start off with, what is the microbiome? So the microbiome is pretty much all the microorganisms living on and in us. And it really is a part of who we are. So they've been estimated that there's about 10 times more microbes in our body than our cells itself, which to me, I think that's a pretty wild thing.
That is wild.
And some scientists have estimated that it could weigh up to 5 pounds of our body weight.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. So all of it is on our body, on our skin, in it, but the most complex and diverse part is actually in our gut. And you might be thinking, well, where the heck do we get all of this microorganisms all over us? And it starts with our mother's birth canal. That's really the foundation and how we really get that core base of it. But there's a lot of other ways you can also get it. So just being in the environment, dust, air, really anything that you can be exposed to. And what we eat also affects it. So really everything, it's really just everything, I would say.
Lots of factors.
Yeah. And then another big one would be medication. So with antibiotics, your antibiotics don't know what's the good and what's the bad. So if you take an antibiotic, it's just kind of going to wipe it all out. So that's another way that can really alter it. And what does it do? So we have all these things, the billions and billions of microorganisms living in us. And a lot of people, that makes them kind of uneasy, you know? They little kind of germophobes, and you don't like the idea of creepy crawlies all over you. But it's a very, very good thing. So it does tons of stuff, and it's a very new science. And it just got recognized in the late 1990s that it was even a thing. So you're going to hear a lot of information and new studies and like we're going to be talking about today. And a lot of it's going to be saying suggestions or we think or there's evidence. And don't let that discourage you because we're just kind of figuring it out. But there has been some evidence to show a lot of really beneficial things. So your immune system, like it teaches our immune system what's good and what's bad and can help teach our body what to attack. It's also been shown to really be fundamental in the breakdown and absorption of nutrients. And it has been shown to regulate our metabolism. There's been a lot of studies with obesity and weight management, and it really is a whole holistic kind of a thing. So you would think it's just in the gut, it's probably just going to affect the gut. But it's also been shown to affect mental health, the nervous system, autoimmune diseases, so like diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis. It really is just kind of, in my opinion, pretty incredible. So.
Absolutely. There's huge implications that are already being suggested with the research. And like Anna said, I think we're just getting into some of it. So this is an exciting time for microbiome research. So thank you, Anna. So the study that we wanted to talk about that maybe some of you have seen articles about, I think NPR did a story about it recently, but the title of the study was called Seasonal Cycling in the Gut Microbiome of the Hadza Hunter-Gatherers of Tanzania. So basically researchers looked at this, at the microbiome profile of the Hadza tribe, and they are one of the very last tribes left in the world that are hunter-gatherers. So they don't grow any of their own food. They subsist on berries, tubers or roots, baobab fruit, which is actually a very nutrient-dense fruit that is available pretty widely in Tanzania, and honey, and then the meat of over 30 different mammals. So they are, yeah, very good at hunting as well. So their diet differs based on the season. And there's two main seasons. They have a dry season, and that's where their diet is more animal-based. They're able to hunt a lot more. And then the wet season, where their diet is more vegetarian-based. So that's where they're really getting a lot more berries and honey. And then tubers and the baobab fruit. I hope I'm saying that right. Those are year-round components of their diet, and both of those are very, very fiber-rich. So a typical Hadza diet supplies about 100 to 150 grams of fiber per day, wow, which is a lot.
How many grams of fiber does an American get a
the
day?
Typical American is getting maybe 10 to 15, like 10% of
so
that.
They're getting 10 times the fiber,
yes,
in their diet.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, ideally we want to be getting closer to 25, 35 grams, but many of us fall short. So this study, there were two parts. The first part, researchers studied this tribe's microbiome profile for over a year to see if there were changes. And they found some really significant changes, actually. They found that there was greater diversity in the microbiome at certain times of the year. And they also found that some types of microbes would completely disappear at times during the year and then reappear later. So way more fluctuation than we really ever thought prior to this. And Anna, do you want to talk a little bit about why diversity is important in the microbiome?
So something that Christian's going to reflect on is that in this study, the diversity of the Hadza tribe was much more diverse than anything in the Western, in the subjects that they had in this study. And that's really interesting because some scientists believe that a lack of diversity in our gut microbiome is actually increasing some diseases. Because like I said before is the microbiome helps our immune system. It teaches our immune system. So if we're lacking diversity in the in our gut microbiome, then our gut microbiome isn't teaching our immune system what to fight. So they think that the lack of diversity is really actually affecting our overall health. And it's pure competition. So the more good bacteria you have, the more competition is going to be for the bad bacteria. So it's just a really great defense system. And really, you can't you want more diversity. You don't want to have less diversity.
Yeah. Yep. So that's kind of a marker of health of our gut microbiome.
So as the layperson in this conversation, so when I hear you guys talk about good bacteria and bad bacteria, can you kind of tell us what differentiates those two, or what makes a bacteria good versus bad, and what are the good bacteria doing? What are the bad bacteria? I'm just having pictures of like this war going on in my in my gut, you know, and we want the good bacteria to have the bigger army is what I'm hearing. So can you speak a little bit to what is the good bacteria? What are they rooting for here?
So the good bacteria, and you can feel free to add anything here, Anna. Are doing what Anna had mentioned. So they are the ones that are helping break down and absorb nutrients. They are aiding our immune system. They are helping regulate our metabolism. So it's a symbiotic relationship. They are living in our gut, but they're also helping us with really important body functions. And then bad bacteria are disease-causing. Yeah. So pathogenic, you get sick, or your digestive tract doesn't work very well because of these bad bacteria.
So if you're lacking diversity, like we were talking about earlier, and if you're lacking diversity of the good bacteria, all you're going to have is the bad. And if all you have is the bad, then you're going to get sick. But if you have more diversity and you have the good, then the good can fight off the bad. So then it can combat those diseases and illnesses.
Yep. Any other questions, Neil, from the layperson here?
Well, so I learned a lot about this subject, and as they talked about, this is a pretty new science, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're still learning things all the time about the gut microbiome, and maybe you could speak a little bit about the microbiome project. But for me, you know, I learned a lot about this subject this spring, going to Kristen's workshops that she did around some of our campuses. And maybe it's coincidence that, you know, all these things are happening at the same time as far as this research and like just me personally becoming aware of it. But to me, it seems like at the same time I'm personally becoming aware of it, and maybe I just notice it now more, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm seeing a lot more commercial products in regular grocery stores. Like, you don't have to go to like the, you know, the super organic natural food store. You can just go to your regular grocery store, and I'm seeing more and more of these probiotic fermented foods. So do you think that's something that, as you know, this is studied more and we find out that, you know, food manufacturers are kind of getting on board with this, or is this just something that I've been missing for the last like 40 years of my life? All these, I mean, I knew about yogurt, but you know, today I, for lunch, I had some kombucha that, you know, I got at the local grocery store, and that was not happening for me a year ago, but I'm much more aware of this than I was.
Yeah. So I think it's definitely a trend that as more and more research comes out, I think certainly food companies do want to capitalize on that. But I think there is good evidence behind it. And Anna will talk about food sources and really what this means. Yeah. So I think probably it's a combo that I was talking about the gut microbiome so much this spring that you noticed it. But I do think that a lot of food companies are jumping on this as well. But first, I did want to talk about the second part of this study, which I think was equally interesting. And they compared the microbiome profile of these Hazda tribe members, these hunter-gatherers, to other populations from over 16 countries. And they were just looking to see if they could notice any difference. So they included populations that were more traditional, so hunter-gatherer tribes, rural agriculturalists in both Africa and South America. And they compared those to more industrialized nations, so the U.S., China, Italy, Canada, Ireland, a whole host of them. And what they found was a very distinct separation depending on if these people were from a traditional society or an industrialized population. I mean, it was, you could look at this profile and the researchers could identify right away which population this person came from. So they found that certain types of microbes dominated in the traditional population, and then other types of microbes dominated in the industrialized population. And when there was less diversity in the Hazda tribe during the wet season, their microbiome started to shift and look more like industrialized nations. They also found that some microbes in the Hazda tribe really couldn't be detected at all in industrialized profiles, and vice versa. So one of the types actually that they that industrialized guts had that was not detectable in the Hazda members shows up in mice when they are deprived of dietary fiber. So the researchers didn't really expand much upon this, but it suggests that dietary fiber is really important. So basically they're thinking that industrialized nations, when we limit fiber, that complex carbohydrate, that we might be kind of starving some of the really good microbes that we want to feed in our GI tract. The importance of this, they really aren't totally sure yet. But again, the fiber piece was a big part of that.
So two questions for me.
Okay.
One, I want you just to, I don't think we can hear this enough, but tell us some sources of good yep. fiber sources, and especially the Western diet. Anna's going to do that?
Yep.
Okay. And then I've heard the term prebiotics. So yep. is that where I'm just jumping the gun here, aren't I?
That's okay.
Stealing
Anna. Well, that's probably the question in everyone's mind as we're listening to this. So yeah, let's have Anna talk about. So there, as Neil's question suggests, there are both probiotics and prebiotics. So can you kind of talk about the difference there, Anna?
Yeah. So probiotics is the actual microorganisms in our gut. And prebiotics is essentially their food. So the best way to really build up the diversity and really make your microbiome as strong as it can be is not by eating a lot of probiotics. It's actually by feeding those feeding those probiotics with prebiotics. Kind of makes sense. And like Kristen said, it's fiber. Fiber is the golden ticket when in terms of prebiotics. And that's because it takes a long time for your body to digest. It's slow and it sits there right in your gut and it just lets those microorganisms really have a feast. So fiber is really
the name of the game. Yeah. And you had some sources that were particularly high in.
Yeah. So I looked up and there's this gastroenterologist, I believe. Okay. And he said the top three best ones are leeks, asparagus, and yams. But you also have things like lentils are really high in fiber, beans are really high in fiber, really any starchy
plant food, right?
Yeah.
Yep. And then what about probiotics? Because that is important, certainly, to get those good microbes in our gut to start. And then we feed them with our fiber-rich sources. But how do we get probiotics in our diet?
So like we said about before, probiotics, so yogurt, kefir, fermented food, sauerkraut, kimchi, kombucha, anything that's fermented or live active cultures is really what it's going to be. And like we said before, just more and more options are only going to come available. And I've read statistics that say a third of our food is almost fermented, because a lot of people think about things like soy sauce. Mm. And there's a lot of things out there that we don't even think are fermented, but actually are.
Awesome. So yeah, there were some kind of wild names of foods in there with kombucha and kefir. But as Neil said, you take a look around in your grocery store and they are becoming much more widely available.
And for those of you who have not tried a lot of these products, it's an acquired taste, but there are some good recipes out there. Kefir, for one, is something that I have incorporated into my diet, and straight kefir is a little bit
tart
and
bold.
It's very bold, but you know, there's some good recipes. You know, Kristen, you did the overnight kefir oats, which you added like honey and blueberries to, which was really good. I've when I do make smoothies, I'll put a little kefir and a little Greek yogurt into, you know, the smoothies, and then kind of offset some of that tartness with fruit, fiber, you know, get my fiber in there. So it's an acquired taste. And I can even remember my sister was on this kick years ago. Wait, my sister's always on like the cutting edge of what, you know, whether it be.
I should talk to her, get some of the latest nutrition.
She's always been ahead of me as far as like, you know, music and art and things like that. She's just cooler than I am. But she was drinking kombucha like way before, you know, they had taps of it in the grocery store. And I remember the first time I ever tasted it, I didn't know what to expect, but I wanted to like spit it out. And I was like, oh, why are you drinking this? But now they have like, you know, all these different flavors, and you know, it's an acquired taste. But I think the fact that I know that I'm building a stronger, healthier microbiome, I like thinking about that.
Awesome. I think that's kind of it for what we have prepared. I know that we have some announcements, unless there's any other questions.
Okay, so first I just want to say thank you to Kristen and Anna for sharing about our amazing gut microbiome. It's a good, great dinner conversation tonight. You know, as you're eating your dinner, you can talk about, you know, all the wonderful things that are going on in your gut. And best of luck to you, Anna. What's next for you after you complete your internship here?
Well, I'm only going to be in Bozeman until October 2nd, and then I'll be doing the rest of my internship in Butte. So okay. I'll be moving there October till July.
Yeah, so that's an almost year-long internship. Lots of different rotations, right, in the hospital and community settings and some food service settings. So,
yeah, again, the whole gamut.
Yeah. And then ultimately, what is your career goal?
Yeah. So once I finish the internship, I can qualify to sit for the registration exam, and then I'll be like Kristen and a dietitian.
Awesome.
So light at the end of the tunnel.
Yep. Great. Thanks, Anna.
All right. So speaking of Butte and other places in Montana, I'm getting ready to hit the road here in a couple of weeks. Can't believe it's already
fall travel season
is coming right up. So we talked about it in the last Well Check, in the last Well Chat, that our fall Well Checks are coming up. And my first trip, I'm going up to MSU Northern in Haver, and we'll be kicking our fall education off right now at the Northern Agricultural Research Center right outside of Haver. We're going to do a Strong Back, Healthy Back workshop. Then I'm going to drop down on my way home and visit Great Falls College. And I did recess with them last fall, and it is going to be back by popular demand. We are going to take recess right in the middle of the workday. So come on out if you're at Great Falls and have fun with us.
It's really fun, even coming. I hated recess when I was in grade school, and I enjoy this workshop.
It's fun time. So populating our fall schedule right now, and as workshops get scheduled, you can see our lineup at the bottom of our blog, MontanaMovesAndMeals.com, where we're going to be. And we also have a calendar on that site under the, I think it's events tab. Events and news, something like that.
Yeah.
But there's a calendar that's another place where you can find our entire fall schedule. And again, as we schedule these workshops, those will be posted on our blog. And we invite you, if you're in that location, register for a workshop and come get some good wellness education.
Yep. And then finally, if you haven't checked out Limeade, the online incentive program for a bit, there are some new challenges out, including a team step challenge.
That's right. And the MUS Wellness team is in what place?
Seventh.
We're in seventh place.
Yes.
That's right. And speaking of the Northern Agricultural Research Station, you guys have a team that is in eighth. So we'll have a little head-to-head competition and see who's winning when I get there in a couple of weeks. And then I am in 14th place on the Climb On Step Challenge, and I'm looking to get into the top 10.
So woo-hoo. Maybe so watch
I'll
out.
Maybe I'll go on a big hike this weekend. All right, that's it for this edition. Is this episode 6?
Yes.
Episode 6 of the Montana Moves and Meals Well Chat. We're signing off, and we will see you soon. Be well.